To my dearest friends, I am honored to welcome you back once more for a sermon on what is to be one of the most tragic and ill-fated of events to have ever befallen the mighty chapters of the Adeptus Astartes. We all know that the history of the Space Marines is rife with misfortune, and that the first legions did not even last for 1,000 years before half of their kind were corrupted by chaos and drawn into the calamitous war of the Horus heresy. In the wake of the scouring, there were many powerful figures within the Imperium who did not trust the Astartes, as in place of the Emperor's angels, they only saw the potential for treachery and the ever-present danger of another rebellion. Still, the enemies of man are eternal, and there are regions of the galaxy so dangerous that their conflicts can only be resolved by the deployment of those who truly know no fear. But there are only so many chapters, and their effectiveness will be markedly reduced if they are stretched too thin. And so, from time to time, the High Lords will order for the creation of new chapters in an event which is known as a founding. During this process, stocks of gene seed will be amassed from the Loyalist chapters and implanted into a host of aspirant recruits, transforming them from baseline humans into the extraordinarily effective super soldiers of the Space Marines. They will be assigned a name, given a color scheme, a home world, or sometimes a fleet, and will be tasked to safeguard a specific area of the galaxy so that they may concentrate their forces where the Imperium is most at risk. These creation events are rare and truly monumental, often signifying a new dawning of hope for the wayward citizens of the Imperium who once believed their worlds to be all but abandoned to the horrors of the dark. Yet among them stands one event so shameful that the Imperium will rarely admit to its very existence. This would be of the 21st founding, a venture shrouded in such a cowl of ill fate that it would soon be known under a far more ominous name of the Cursed Founding. The scale of this was at first unprecedented, being of the largest creation of new chapters since the Second Founding itself. It occurred in the waning years of the 35th millennium, preceding a terrible period of Imperial history known as the Age of Apostasy. But the air of optimism was to be marred by the arrogant hubris of the Mechanicus, who falsely presumed that they could use this project to improve upon the Emperor's work, a most foolish endeavor, destined to end in little more than doom. For today, however, we will be learning of this cursed founding, first by exploring its background, and of the processes which led to its downfall, before looking through the various chapters they created, and of their tragic and truly terrible tales. But now, my dearest friends, let us move on from this, as I do believe that it is now time for us to begin. This is to be a saga of heroes burdened and tarnished by the hubris of their creators, as through no fault of their own, they were all to be born during the dark days of the Cursed Founding. Even though the Imperium currently languishes in a most squalid and wretched condition, we must admit that at one point in time, it was truly one of the most powerful empires that the galaxy had ever seen. All of this was only possible through the efforts of the Emperor, who united the lost worlds of man, primarily by producing the mighty legions of the Astartes, who were elevated as genetically enhanced warriors, tasked with safeguarding mankind from the horrors of the dark. Rather sadly, however, his influence could not prevent the malign gods of the warp from tampering with the genomes of their Primarch fathers, thus leading to a slew of mutations which were to plague the Marines in a myriad of minor or major ways. The imperial lords were always somewhat aware of these faults, even if they did not understand their full extent. Yet it was forbidden to tamper with their sacred gene seed, as it was a gift from the emperor himself, and to presume to know more than the master of mankind would be heresy. Yet as the 35th millennium came to its close, and as the 21st founding was ordered to commence, the group of tech priests responsible for overseeing this project chose to disregard the imperial precautions, as they now believed themselves to have cracked the Emperor's code. They had studied the genetics of the Marines for decades, and the genitors now considered themselves as the only individuals who could improve upon the Emperor's work by producing what would be the first of their new generation of Marines. It would involve the purging of their old flaws, removing the innate weaknesses of the gene seed, whilst also imbuing them with stronger organs, ushering in a golden age for the Adeptus Astartes. Though many would see it as heretical to alter the Emperor's angels, they were supported and possibly funded by a group of inquisitors hailing from the somewhat extremist sect of the Thorian faction. Their followers believed that the Emperor's spirit is trapped within his broken body, and that he may one day be transferred into an avatar, allowing him to finally walk once more and to lead the Imperium out of the dark into their rightful and unquestionable position as the rulers of the galaxy. In any event, Inquisitor Cressery had reached out to the genitors of the 21st founding to begin work on what he named as Project Homo Sapiens Novus, perhaps because he saw it as a necessary step before the Emperor's avatar could be produced. They would carry out their research and testing upon the world of Inculaba, where a hidden geno laboratory had been assembled, allowing the priests to perform whatever radical experiments they desired without the suspicious oversight of the imperial lords. According to fragmented sources, some of the prototype Astartes appeared larger than their conventional brothers, and that their biology was far more advanced, harboring organs and bone structures enhanced beyond the norm. It seemed, for a moment, that their bold dreams were in reach. Yet there were many failures, with Marines swelling into corrupted masses of flesh, thrashing within incubation capsules marked for destruction via the blazing flames of purification. This, of course, was to be expected. The architects of the 21st founding were far less skilled than the Emperor in the arts of genetic design, and in their haste to weed out every last imperfection, they unwittingly created many more. The gene seed of Inculaba was inherently flawed, carrying hidden mutations that not even the priests could detect. Yet in a terrible moment of arrogance, they declared that they had been successful and committed their creations to the 21st founding. Dozens of chapters were brought into being, with untold thousands of Marines being dispersed throughout the galaxy to wage war against the enemies of man. And most tragically, not a single one of them knew of the curses that they truly carried. The full extent of the catastrophe only came to light far later, when imperial scribes noted that every chapter from this founding had befallen a most terrible fate. Some fell with grotesque mutations, forcing their extermination. Others were swayed to the dark path of chaos as renegades, but even the most fortunate were still plagued with an otherworldly sense of bad luck, driving many chapters towards total extinction. Thus, this became known as the Cursed Founding, and the Imperium began to look upon the afflicted Marines and of the tech priests with an eye of deathly suspicion. To cover their tracks, it is said that Inquisitor Cressery ordered for the exterminatus of Inculaba, purging their forbidden research with the cleansing fires of their order. This, however, is but a myth, as Cressery in fact died upon Inculaba. as a group of invaders, possibly Drukhari, or, as many scholars believe, forces led by Fabius Bile, had descended to steal away the genetic secrets of the project and to slaughter any defenders who stood in their way. In any event, the Imperium would later discover the world and dispatched a team of Grey Knights to investigate, though it was found to have been devoured by the Tyranids, who had scoured it clean of any biological remains. Nonetheless, they bombarded the remnants of the empty lab from orbit, and then moved to expunge any traces of its existence from Imperial records, as none could ever be allowed to learn that the heresies of the 21st founding may very well have fallen into enemy hands. Given the purge, we have no way of knowing exactly how many chapters were produced, but the following will be a showcase of some of the most notable, who we know for a fact were created in the depths of Inkulaba as the failures of the cursed founding. It is difficult to think of a chapter whose saga encapsulates the sorrow of the cursed founding more than of the Lamenters. Born out of the lineage of the Blood Angels, they had been engineered with the highest of hopes of carrying the memory and fury of Sanguinius to the darkest reaches of the cosmos. The Adeptus Mechanicus, in all their hubris, believed that they had achieved a miracle with this chapter, in that they had ended the Blood Angels' ancient curse, and that the Lamenters would no longer be at risk of succumbing to the Red Thirst, nor of the eventual Black Rage. Initially, it seemed as though this had been successful, as the new Marines displayed no signs of madness, nor of the vampiric thirst that haunted their progenitors. Yet, in place of those flaws, the Lamenters inherited something perhaps far worse, a melancholic shadow upon their very souls, and a curse of misfortune that would claw at their steps through all of history. From the moment they took to the field, the Lamenters seemed unfortunate beyond reason. It was as if some malevolent star hung over them, twisting every possible triumph into an inevitable defeat and a most dreadful tragedy. It is true that they fought with all the valor of Sanguinius's sons, being noble and selfless, and from time to time they did in fact prevail over impossible odds. But their victories had a terrible habit of turning to bitter ashes, leaving naught in the way of reward, only sorrow. It became all too common for those they saved to succumb to some hitherto unforeseen terror, or for their own forces to suffer catastrophic casualties against a foe who seemed too inept to cause them any trouble. It almost seemed as though they were haunted, as if some dark luck clung to their chapter, or if the warp itself had imparted its own curse as revenge against the tech priests who sought to cheat their influence over the gene seed. Even the Emperor's Tarot, a divine deck of cards said to be linked to the master of mankind, constantly revealed a growing misfortune around their brothers. By the 37th millennium, it had become increasingly clear to the Imperial Lords that the chapters created during the 21st founding were far less stable than of their cousins, eventually leading to their shunning by the wider Imperium. The Lamenters, upon learning of this, quietly departed on a crusade to the galaxy's western fringe, though their period of isolation was quickly cut short as they were recalled to the Eye of Terror, to repel the growing incursions of chaotic war bands. Even here, their luck was most terrible, as they were abandoned by their cousin chapters on many a field, resulting in around 800 of their brothers needlessly falling in battle. It would not be until the 41st millennium when they finally rebuilt their chapter, though they were promptly summoned to the Galactic Core to assist in the Imperial patrols around the Maelstrom, along with the fateful chapter of the Astral Claws. The brothers of these two chapters grew rather close, but this fraternal bond proved to be disastrous as Lufthuron declared his rebellion from the Imperium, sparking what would be known as the Badab War. The Lamenters, though never a true renegade chapter, were sadly dragged into the wrong side of this conflict and were forced to turn against the Loyalists, forever staining their reputation in the eyes of the Imperium, despite always looking for an alternative to needless bloodshed. Eventually, they fell into the target of the Minotaurs, who located their orbital fortress monastery, boarded the great vessel, and slaughtered all they could find, forcing the Marines to surrender, only after suffering heavy losses. After the war came to its close, it was determined that the Lamenters had believed their actions to be in the defense of the Adeptus Astartes in general, and that they had never sought to rebel or to directly attack the wider Imperium. Thus, they were granted with the Emperor's forgiveness and condemned to set out on a penitent crusade where they would prove their loyalty or die in the defense of mankind. The tattered remnants ventured into the stars, though were only met with further defeat, suffering ever more casualties against the Tyranids of Hive Fleet Kraken, bringing them unnervingly close to the precipice of extinction. They believed, however, that every trial was necessary for redemption, and that in time they would prove their unwavering loyalty and rebuild themselves as a faithful chapter once more. As the 41st millennium came to its close, Hive Fleet Leviathan had ensnared the Blood Angel's homeworld of Baal, forcing Commander Dante to send out a call for aid, summoning every single successor chapter to return home and purge the alien swarm. Most unfortunately, however, the Lamenters were at this point in a most deplorable state, dwindling down to only around 300 Battle Brothers, and due to the stipulations of the Penitent Crusade, were unable to recruit new initiates, nor to create new Marines. Thus, a most heart-wrenching decision had to be made to refuse the Blood Angel's desperate call and to abandon the doomed homeworld of their Gene Father. Tragically, they were simply in no condition to lend their aid, yet this would undoubtedly stand as yet another badge of shame for their hapless chapter, whose own misfortune had time and time again deprived them of the chance to prove their worth to their closest brothers. The tale of the Lamenters, though one steeped in tragedy, was confined to their misfortunes in life, but our next chapter, covering the infamous Fire Hawks, extends well beyond death itself. We cannot say for certain as to why they were created, but were whispered to have been sourced from the ultramarine gene seed, which perhaps explains why they were at first defined by their loyalty and proven adaptability. Quite interestingly, they were initially a favored chapter to the High Lords of Terra, who frequently dispatched them to carry out vital tasks for the Imperium, as they knew that they could depend upon them for any campaign, no matter how difficult it may be. This patronage bred a certain level of pride within the Hawks, though it quickly developed into a far more serious demeanor, where they almost seemed to care more for their relation to the Lords than of their fraternity with any cousin Marines. Some even murmured that the Firehawks harbored a dark taint within their souls, and that maybe their gene seed had been corrupted, though there was no way to prove this, and the High Lords paid no heed to what would soon come to light as something most prophetic. Nevertheless, they were a battle-tested chapter, having fought upon Holy Terra itself during the Age of Apostasy, where they joined with the crusading Marines who had amassed to topple the heretical rule of Goge Vandyre. During this time, their homeworld was sadly destroyed, though for their efforts, they were rewarded by Sebastian Thor with a void fortress dating back to the Great Crusade, thus redefining them as a fleet-based chapter. This vessel would prove to be pivotal during the later Badab War, where it was used to enforce a blockade around a forge world within the Maelstrom, thus allowing the Loyalists to be resupplied for their later siege against Badab Primus. But their heroic deeds came to a swift close in the year 963 of the 41st millennium, as the entire chapter of the Firehawks simply vanished from Imperial space. They had been tasked with a mission within the Crow's World subsector to hunt down a Drukhari pirate fleet. Yet once their vessels set a route and sailed into the warp, it seemed as though they were destined to never emerge. It is not uncommon for ships to be cast adrift during warp travel, or to arrive far later than the expected date. But as the months of silence dragged into years, it slowly became apparent to the Imperium that the chapter was likely lost. In response, the Bell of Lost Souls upon Terra tolled 1,000 times, ringing out as the final show of respect to the apparent victims of the Immaterium. But in truth, though the Hawks were indeed lost in the warp, they were not completely destroyed. Instead, they drifted through the eternal hellscape for an agonizing span, exposed to the raw, maddening, and otherworldly energies of the Dark Gods. None can say for sure as to what exactly transpired in those timeless depths, but in that infernal dimension, the fleet was picked apart, with colossal demons dragging their ships into the fathomless abyss, condemning their many souls to be torn apart and devoured. What was once a mighty armada was eventually reduced to but one single ship, which after many long years was violently ejected from the warp, cast adrift in the lightless void beyond the far eastern fringe. Only 200 Marines survived the ordeal, and their entire stock of gene seed had been destroyed, leaving them as the last living remnants of the Firehawks. As they reviewed their lamentable condition, it quickly became clear that the Marines had not escaped their immaterial odyssey entirely unscathed. Their brothers were rapidly mutating, with their skin blistering and chipping off, revealing putrid flesh, sometimes so ragged that their bones were clearly visible. Many more died from this ordeal, and they presumed themselves to have been afflicted with some type of warp-borne affliction. Yet they were so far from Imperial space that they couldn't even reach out for medical aid. Still, as more time passed, fewer fell to their sickness, leaving but a hardened cadre of brothers who in no way resembled the men who had entered into the warp. Their bodies were wretched, and their minds had been similarly ravaged, pushing them into a state of near madness where they saw their own doom as being utterly inevitable. They could not return to the Imperium as heroes, and thus all that was left was to die. Yet they would not go quietly, as they were, in fact, still entirely loyal to all of humanity. In this accursed state, they stripped their armor of anything that signified them as Firehawks, scraping off symbols and relics, leaving them in solid black plate, which they then adorned with the bones and skulls of their fallen brothers. They no longer concerned themselves with ranks or titles, considering all as equally doomed, and thus equally fit to fight and to bring their remaining wrath to the enemies of all mankind. Over the following years, it became something of a myth for Imperial forces, fighting on the precipice of defeat, to be suddenly joined by a scorched warband of unidentifiable Marines emerging from seemingly thin air to seize victory before vanishing back into the haze. The Imperials began to refer to these warriors as the Legion of the Damned, and though many Inquisitors would seek to capture and investigate one of their kind, none have ever been successful. The only reason we know that they were once the Loyalist chapter is that in the wake of one such appearance, the survivors found upon the field an old flag, quickly identified as having belonged to the Firehawks. On it was adorned their old motto, which simply read, "For the Emperor, beyond the point of death." In almost every case, the records of the Marines created during the 21st founding have been all but expunged from official imperial records, primarily to hide their shameful existence, so as to not damage the reputation of the Adeptus Astartes. But there was one chapter, named as the Minotaurs, whose details were ordered to be classified as a directive from the High Lords of Terror, for a far darker reason. To start with, their gene seed has been labeled as chimeric, meaning that it was an experimental blend, mixing pieces from several other chapters to produce a blasphemous and most forbidden genome. We do not know of the exact details to their genomics, but whatever elements were taken seem to have imbued the Marines with an innate sense of brutality, where the Minotaurs are quick to succumb to a ferocious rage, caring only for reducing their foes to a bloody pulp than of anything else. This violent nature quickly became a point of infamy to the new chapter, with very few of their fellow Imperials being willing to assist them in battle, seeing them as being far too unreliable and far too unpredictable to count on as an ally. They were noted to simply hurl themselves against the enemy, rushing out through the field with reckless abandon, paying no heed to their own losses if it meant that they could get their brazen grips upon the enemies of man. With that said, they were particularly active in their early days, taking part in dozens of notable campaigns, but quite suddenly, as the 38th millennium ticked over, they seemed to all but vanish from the war zones of the galaxy. Unlike their cousin chapters of the cursed founding, this was not caused by some terrible disaster, as it was at this point that the High Lords had taken note of their existence and devised for them a most unique fate. They would not be seen again until the early days of the 41st millennium, where they were dispatched to put down the numerous rebellions of the Makarian heresy. This was a period of civil war within the Segmentum Pacificus, as the numerous generals of the late Lord Macarius fought over the remnants of his glorious crusade, abandoning the rule of the Imperium to establish their own petty empires. Quite interestingly, it seemed as though the long years of exile had actually altered the nature of the Minotaurs. Though yes, they were still brutal, but they were now far more organized, integrating themselves well with the wider Imperial armies, often taking on a commanding role rather than simply hurling themselves into battle. At first, this was beneficial for their poor reputation, but over the following years, it rapidly became clear that the only enemies they seemed to respond to were of those who had turned their backs upon the Imperium. The truth, then, was that they had indeed swore their allegiances to the High Lords of Terror, and had now taken on a new role as their lapdogs, only ever setting out if the Imperial nobility had designated a specific target for total destruction. There is nothing inherently wrong with this, but all of their missions seemed to converge to one objective, which was to castigate the fellow Space Marine chapters of the Imperium, sometimes to ensure their loyalty to Terra, but sometimes to outright destroy them. Naturally, their cousin chapters were disgusted by this, as the Adeptus Astartes are meant to be somewhat autonomous to the Imperial Lords. Yet they were now being policed by a chapter who seemed to revel in the challenge of putting down a fellow Marine. The Minotaurs were notably active during the Badab War, committing their entire chapter to putting down the rebellion within the Maelstrom. Here, they were truly merciless, massacring the renegade Marines of every chapter, often resorting to their old barbarism by charging into the heretic lines to cleave apart those who dared to oppose their lords. The one time they offered the secessionists a chance to surrender was to the Lamenters aboard their flagship, though this was only made after they had slaughtered hundreds of the unfortunate Marines. During the 42nd millennium, shortly after the Primarch Gilliman had returned, several of the High Lords formed a group known as the Hexarchy and organized a coup upon Terra, as they refused to recognize his authority over the Imperium and were unwilling to accept his drastic reforms. The Minotaurs, being entirely loyal to the Lords, were summoned to defend their masters upon Holy Terra. But once the Hexarchy had been put down, it was revealed that they had only been called upon as a means to reveal the Lords who were planning their rebellion. I do not believe the Minotaurs will ever be looked upon in a favorable light, as their honor has been permanently stained by the blood of their fellow Marines, and we must wonder to what extents they will go to follow the directives of the High Lords. When we look over the accursed Marines of the 21st Founding, there will be none who are as visually striking as of the Black Dragons. They were created with the intention of forging mighty warriors, but due to the erroneous methods of the tech priests, an unexpected quirk was left in their gene seed, causing them to undergo a most dramatic mutation. Their os modula, an organ which usually strengthens an Astartes skeleton, had seemingly gone into overdrive, causing their bones to mutate and erupt through their flesh. The afflicted brothers would possess a pair of immense razor-sharp blades, jutting forth from their forearms, their heads would be split by a draconic crest, and their skeletons had grown far beyond what was otherwise normal, resulting in the Marines towering over their typical cousins. Not every Marine developed these blades, but it was seen as a point of pride to the chapter, and they would organize the gifted brothers into specialized close combat units known as Dragon Claws. Naturally, the Inquisition has been rather interested in studying these mutants, as they would rightly suspect that the chapter has been somehow affected by the powers of the warp. But in recent years, with the sundering of the galaxy by the Great Rift, they have been unable to spare the resources. Their cousin chapters are similarly suspicious, often refusing to join them on the field. But this is no matter to the dragons, who, as I previously mentioned, are incredibly proud of their gifts and would never hide them away just to garner some favor with those who reject them. Their apothecaries will in fact seek to accelerate the development of their mutations, likely by further tampering with the already tainted gene seed, a practice which many would see as heretical. Every chapter must provide 5% of their gene seed to Terra as a part of the Imperial tithe, but the Black Dragons have repeatedly refused such demands, likely because they do not wish for it to be studied by any outsiders. It has been reported that the Minotaurs were once dispatched to enforce the tithe, but when the gene seed was eventually received, none of it could be traced to the dragons. We do not know if they stole the precious material from some other chapter, or if they have a stock of stable gene seed to cover their tracks, but whatever the reason, all it does is to make the wider Imperium far more suspicious of these mutant Marines. The Sons of Antaeus are quite a strange chapter from the 21st Founding, in that they do not seem to be cursed at all. We know very little on these Marines, perhaps because their older records were purged along with the rest of the accursed chapters, but in truth they seem to be rather unremarkable when compared to their more interesting cousins. We know that they were sourced from ultramarine gene seed, and so maybe this explains as to why they are so stable. But still, we must wonder what the genitors actually changed and of what their intentions were for this curious chapter. So far, the only quirk that we have identified is that they are highly resistant to pain, being able to shrug off strikes that would otherwise shake an unmodified brother. But this durability is truly rather impressive, allowing them to set out on protracted campaigns in hostile war zones with only minimal supplies. And in fact, their resistance has sometimes been compared to that of the chaotic plague marines, even though I personally believe this to be hyperbole. It has been rumored that, like with the Black Dragons, that their os modula is mutated, as their bones also seem to be far stronger than a conventional marine, though studies have never revealed the truth behind their resistance. Some scholars believe that their creation involves the implantation of unconventional materials, novel to this chapter, perhaps reinforcing their bones and tendons, which might explain as to why their gene seed appears almost normal. Nevertheless, they are clearly mutants, as anything which deviates from their parental gene seed is unquestionably tainted, and as such, the Ultramarines reject the Sons of Antaeus, very rarely acknowledging them or summoning them with their fellow successors. By this point, it should be clear that we are now exploring chapters with very little in the way of robust lore. But such is the result of the Imperium being far too eager to purge the tales of unconventional marines, no matter how interesting their story may truly be. With that said, our next chapter is one which was sadly excommunicated as traitors and was almost entirely exterminated by the demon hunters of the Grey Knights, and they would be known as the Flame Falcons. They had been created to defend a region of Segmentum Obscurus known as the Coronid Depths, being granted with their home world of Lethe. But unfortunately, they barely lasted a century before the Marines were condemned to death. Their initial campaigns were met with nothing but success, putting down several raging Orc warlords and fending off a large armada of Eldari corsairs. But like with all chapters from the 21st Founding, there was to be no happy end to their tale. Upon the world of Raffenburg, Imperial forces watched in horror as the entirety of the First Company burst into flames, with every Marine wreathed in a blazing aura as they fought. Most strangely, however, this fire did not consume them. Their flesh and armor were completely unharmed by the blaze, and in fact, the flames seemed to invigorate the Falcons, who charged deeper into the enemy lines, chasing down the foes who wouldn't dare stand against such a hellish sight. This, then, was their genetic quirk, and though we have no way of knowing exactly what was causing the immolation, the Falcons themselves considered it as a gift, claiming that they had been blessed by the Emperor and that they were carrying his flames to the darkest corners of the stars. The wider Imperium, however, did not share such an opinion. This phenomenon was quickly reported to the Inquisition, who disregarded the ignorant view that this was some kind of miracle and promptly summoned for the Grey Knights, assuming that this chapter had been possessed by the powers of the warp. Thus, as the Flame Falcons converged upon their homeworld to celebrate their victory and to give praise to the Emperor for their gift, the Knights descended en masse and slaughtered the mutants with righteous indignation. It is most tragic that in this moment of triumph, that a decidedly loyal chapter was put to the sword only because of the merciless suspicions of the Inquisitorial Lords. There was no indication that they were heretical, and in fact, the Imperium frequently acknowledges the Emperor's miracles throughout the galaxy, but in this case, their faith was simply disregarded, and the flames were condemned as proof of their damnation. It is said that several Flame Falcons survived the purge, though their chapter will never again be rebuilt, as their gene seed was all but destroyed, and their brothers all declared as sworn renegades. The only known member to still operate is a brother named as Gerak, who went on to join the Death Watch and who now serves within the inquisitorial retinue of Lord Otto de Gover. It is incredibly hypocritical for the Inquisition to destroy an entire chapter, yet to pick through the ashes for any useful remnants. But I suppose that this is just something to expect from those radical witch hunters. As a final point, this Inquisitor also holds a member of the Black Dragons and one of the sons of Antaeus in his retinue, so perhaps he's just keen to recruit the Marines from the 21st Founding, seeing their curses as being potentially useful in the defense of the Imperium. Though our previous chapters have all persevered through their mutations and remained as loyal to the Imperium up until the very end, our final group will consist of the only recorded Marines from the 21st Founding to outright pledge themselves to Chaos. These would be of the fabled Blood Gorgons, whose details have been all but expunged after they turned their backs upon the Imperium and arose as renegades, following in the dark path of Chaos, undivided. We do not know exactly why they sought the powers of Chaos, though we could of course speculate that their altered gene seed may have made them more susceptible to the siren song of the warp. In any event, it only took 60 years from the 21st Founding for them to be branded as traitors, with the entire chapter being forced to abandon their homeworld and to seek refuge within the depths of the Eye of Terror. Bereft of purpose, the Blood Gorgons imploded, with dozens of aspirant Marines arising as warlords, intent on waging a civil war against their old brothers to claim the shattered remnants for themselves. A figure known as Gamadin eventually succeeded in this task, slaying any and all rivals before uniting the chapter beneath his new banner as a true renegade warband. To prevent such a conflict from ever occurring again, he enforced a vile bonding ritual upon his brothers, where they would share in each other's blood, which, when combined with the energies of the warp, brought them together on an almost supernatural level. Quite disgustingly, this eventually progressed to the Marines, transplanting their own flesh and organs into one another. And so it is probable that every brother of this chapter is now not entirely himself. In any event, since being driven from the Imperium, they pride themselves on their independence above all else, going so far as to eschew the gifts of any one Chaos God, preferring instead to remain as followers of Chaos undivided. They do, however, hold the patronage of a demon known as Yetsuge, who seems to have guided their warband through the nightmare of the warp, whilst also gracing them with the many forbidden secrets of the Immaterium. Still, it is chapters like the Blood Gorgons who have contributed the most to the dark reputation of the cursed Founding. There is always a risk of chapters falling to Chaos, but they flipped so quickly and were followed by the perceived heresy of the Flame Falcons that from the Imperium's perspective, it must have seemed as though every new chapter was doomed to fall. Official records indicate that there have been at least 26 traditional Founding events, as well as the more recent Ultima Founding, yet truly none contained as many catastrophic nor terrible failings as of the 21st. The original tech priests, in all of their arrogant hubris, carried out their forbidden experiments, and as a result of their tampering, damned untold thousands of Marines to a most lamentable fate. I have outlined only the most notable of cases today, but given that this was recorded as the largest Founding event since the second, I must presume that there were perhaps dozens more chapters which have been entirely expunged from all Imperial records. As a point of speculation, we currently do not know for sure if the ambitions of the Genitors were purely based around improving upon the design of the Space Marines, or if there was something more sinister behind their plan. Given that all this was hidden from the wider Imperium and funded by a radical inquisitor, maybe they wished for the new chapters to hold a secret allegiance to themselves, perhaps so that they could later assist the Thorian sect with their mysterious goals. The reason I say this is that when we look at the Minotaurs, they are intensely loyal to the authority of the High Lords, possibly as a result of their genetic tampering, and maybe they were originally intended to be secretly loyal to the priests instead. Similarly, with the Blood Gorgons, they can be defined by their fierce independence, but perhaps if they had been guided and mentored by the Genitors, they would have ended up more loyal to their twisted creators. Alternatively, maybe the true intentions for this founding were not devised by the Genitors, but by the hidden elites of the High Lords of Terror. We have to question as to why they took such an interest in the early existence of the Firehawks, and then later to the space marine hunters of the Minotaurs, after the former disappeared into the warp. Perhaps they had tasked the priests with forming several chapters who were uniquely loyal to the imperial nobility, and if this is indeed true, then it would certainly bring their integrity and allegiances to the Imperium into question. Nevertheless, though the secrets of the 21st founding were buried by the Imperium, this would not be the last time that a Tech priest sought to alter the Emperor's work. Millennia later, a second attempt at the perfect space marine would succeed as Belisarius Kaul emerged from 10,000 years of seclusion with the methods needed to produce the Primaris Marines. His triumph demanded the wisdom and labor of a true Aeon, which stands in stark contrast to the foolish priests of the cursed founding who believed that the Emperor's legacy could be perfected with nothing more than rash ambition. But with this, my dearest friends, I do believe that we have once again come to our end. Thank you all so much for listening to this sermon on the cursed founding in its entirety, and I do hope that you have enjoyed our time. For now, however, I must once again close this chapter and depart once more, but as I go, I shall wish each and every one of you with a very warm goodbye.